Welcome back to Musings of a Book Collector. This is episode number 7 of our special episodes devoted to discussing the Svarim and controversies relating to Masechtas Chulin. As I mentioned in previous episodes, comments are greatly appreciated. It does not have to be positive, any type of comments. Sponsorships are available, and one could even email me for some of the materials I perhaps could send some of the things. So now, the topic I'd like to discuss today is moving much more forward. We were deep in 1108, and then the world of the Gaonim. So I want to talk about a sefer that came out about 2 weeks ago. As I said, I'm not always going to be able to be perfectly organized. This is on the spot, sort of, so to speak, the shiurim. So I would like to talk about this sefer that just came out 2 weeks ago. Now, it's a project of Rabbi Wright, and the name of the sefer is Ushchatem Bazeh. And the significance of the sefer is that it deals with the metzios, pictures, visual aid to help city boys such as myself understand a lot of the basic aspects of Masechtas Chulin, as I'm going to explain today, what he does. And this is part of a greater project of his where he has written already, published a few such works to explain the metzios of different topics, such as, let's say, Shofar, with illustrations, and helps one get a grasp of the metzius when you see all the illustrations and you learn the sugyas. So this is a topic which I enjoy talking about. I've spoken about it in the past. I've written about it. And because knowing the metzius is beyond helpful in understanding the sugya. Now, it's pretty simple. It should be, at least. We have open Gemara, especially one that everyone likes to quote in Chulin, which talks about Rav, that he was amongst the animals for 18 months to Trefus to become a Bucky in that, and eventually we will try to talk more about that Gemara and different aspects that come out of it. But the point is that this is an extra important for Masechta to have a grasp of the Metzius more than others, and also it's very complex. And more than that is that, as I said, city people were not around animals so much, so it's very, very far in the concepts. And what basically happens is when one learns the Gemara, it's very hard to understand even the simplest metzias, so to speak. Now, to backtrack or drop about this, the importance of this topic, so you might think it's pashut, that one should, that no one should disagree or anything like that about having metzias type works that have pictures and stuff like that. But it's interesting is that at one point I heard a shir at a conference of some sort from Rabbi Stern, who is one of the most prolific authors of today, and he was talking about the books that he published. One was on Lamed Tes Melachos, that it seems he got flack for publishing a book with pictures, even though it's so helpful to explain the Lamed Tes Melachos. He said he didn't listen to the complaints that people had, and he said he's gotten thousands and thousands of letters from all over the world, how helpful it is. But the point is that people, the Shomer HaChomus, were upset about this book, so to speak. And Mirtz Hashem, at a different time, maybe we'll try to figure out what it was that bothered them. But Rabbi Stern, he's legendary for, I believe he did it for at least one of the topics, which was Dalin Minim. Many years ago, he put out a book, gorgeous pictures, and it helps one learn and understand the Dalin Minim in a whole different way. When you just learned the Mishnah Berurah, so yeah, you can understand a lot of aspects. Dalin Minim was something we do every year. You held an Esrig, so you could relate to a lot of the topics, but when you see pictures for every single prat, it definitely helps one get a much greater understanding of the sugya. Alachas kam v'kam, one wants to be a paisik. In these areas, you need what we call shimush. So I think the book that he published on Dal Minim, it eventually caused him a pecha, because there's many such works on this topic of Dal Minim today, both in Hebrew and in English. Anyway, so this is one nakuda in the story. Another nakuda is, I'm fond of always saying, when I talk about this or write about this, is the Yid Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, legendary, that he was also that you needed to have a full grasp of the Metzius, and he made sure to understand the Metzius before he passed in many different, especially modern-day questions, most notably in the sugyas of electricity, but even other aspects, and let's say in Hilchos Shabbos. So I used to hear a shir for a bunch of years from a Yid Rav Yadler. Rav Yadler was a Yid who gave shirim across Yerushalayim, Mishneh Berurah, many different places, and sometimes being as modern, you give a shirim also, to Bachrim. Okay, anyway, so this Rav Yadler, when we get up to the Malachas that relates to opening bottles and the like, so he had a a big bag of all types of bottle caps and other containers and stuff like that. And he'd give a whole fancy shiur where basically he would explain all the different malachas, all the different lamdasin and the malachas based on the metzios of each one of these bottles, what's mutter, what's aser, what the different shittas were, and he would show it with your hand, with the samples that he had collected by visiting different factories, and he had a grasp, understand what, how a soda bottle was made, how the cap was made, and this plays out in the Paskin the Sugya. So he related in one of the shiurim, at least once I heard from him, the following interesting thing was that what he was very involved in the topic always, and every time a new bottle came out, a new patent, as they call it in Hebrew, a gimmick to try to figure out a way to make it kosher, well, there was all different types of things. At one point, there was a special plastic cap that Pepsi made and all different things. So he was always on top of it to see what the Gedolim said, and if there was a new thing that came out, he would run right away to Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rabbi Yashiv to talk to them to hear what they had to say. So anyway, while he was deep learning the sugya, he basically... him and his chavrusa, they had a whole bunch of questions, and they went down to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman gave them some guidelines in understanding the whole sugya and how to paskin and all different aspects with his beirim, not just like, okay, mutter, this is us, or that's mutter. They didn't take good notes, or it was just too much, it was too heavy, all the different diukim and diunim that Rav Shlomo Zalman said. So they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, could you write it down for me? Brilliant move. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no problem. First, write up all your questions, all your issues, and then I'll write a tshuva based on that. So he went, and then Rav Shlomo Zalman went, spent a few days, and he got a call from Rav Shlomo Zalman's son. The tshuva is ready. Fine, he goes down. Rav Shlomo Zalman's son tells Rav Yadler that you should just know, my father, Rav Shlomo Zalman, sat with a soda bottle at the table, and he was just taking off the cap, putting it back on, as he was writing the tshuva. I mean, to say such visual aid, it helped him he had it in front of him as he was making sure his psak is going to be followed by many people are going to be following it. He's very, very careful about that. Anyway, fast forward, we could have many other examples for this. Just one other marmukim with Rav Shlomo Zalman. There's a very nice book that came out from a Yid, Shmuel Hakayin Weingarten, Pirurim Mishulchanam Shal Gedolei Yisrael. This is a personal account of all the different Gedolim he got to meet over his lifetime. One of them was Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So he writes that at one point in time, a company in Tel Aviv were building buildings, and they wanted to have proper elevators for the Shabbos. So they wanted someone that understands the topic of elevators. So I'm trying to make it a little dramatic. Basically, he Weingarten recommends Rav Shlomo Zalman. They come into a meeting, and I can imagine professional businessmen, experts, and all of a sudden you see this guy in this Yerushalmi Lavush looking, you know, like from a different century. He's going to understand the topics of electricity and all the different aspects with the elevator, and be able to guide them. And anyway, he publishes the letter that he got from the company. The company was blown away by him, pretty much. He grasped everything. They just couldn't believe it. And when you really think about it, it's an incredible feat, because Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, as opposed to many other, something common in Eretz Yisrael more than other places, they had zero education. They didn't have the most basic elementary level science, mathematics. He had none of this, and he was a genius in besides in regular learning, in grasping the metzias and being able to plug it into the halacha and understand it. In it wasn't like the people, when the experts of his, their talmidim in the medical field, said he grasped things that colleagues of theirs who spent a long time learning this took a long time to grasp. He grasped it instantly. It was some type of unique kayach that he had amongst his many other special talents. Now, fast forward to the sugyas in relating to us by Treifus. So there's a Mardik Askama of the Adaris, the work that actually was never published, which the work seemed to be that it was going to have pictures, and the Adaris said it's good for everyone, Rabbanim, Talmidim, to have this work, because it's very valuable to be able to understand the Metzius when you're learning specifically in the areas in Masechtas Chulin. So that was a beautiful Askama. The Sefer was never published, but the Askama was in the Tshuvas Oil Yosef, 1903, a Tshuva Sefer published in New York. And one other Maramakim, a fascinating autobiography, as far as autobiographical accounts go, of Lutta in the 1870s and onwards, from Yid Aleph Aleph Friedman. And he's obviously one of these interesting, very colorful people. And he So at one point, the way he writes about himself is that he's off the charts brilliant. Maybe he was, I have no idea. But he mastered the sugyas in Yeridaya, and he made a massive chart of the lungs, color with colors of all different types, to highlight all the different issues that come up with all the different shilas in the lungs, which is the complex aspects in Hilchos Treifos and stuff like that. And on the side, all the psakim, a sikum of all the different main shitas. He showed this to the Netziv from Shlomo Kayin. They were very impressed with it. They even recommended, it seems, that it should get published by the Tfusser in Vilna. But the point was the great importance of having images. Now, back to us. Masechtas Chulin. So these two last Maimonides relate to Masechtas Chulin. The importance of having these tools or stuff out there, if they're available, is unbelievable. Now, it's famous, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, who, what happened is that the Daf Yomi, when it was learned, let's say we'll just go till from after World War II, till the 1990s. So people learning Daf Yomi, when they got to Masechtas Chulin, it was a very challenging, because you needed to understand the Metzius. If you didn't know the Metzius, it's going to play out in the Sugyus, and it's very technical. So they even say that, you know, like people when they got to Chulin, they really dropped out. If Kachim was bad, Chulin was even worse. And there was so many just blot of concepts and things that he never heard of. Most people were city boys and not around animals. Anyway, so Rebelsky went ahead and he took apart an animal on a video and showed all the different aspects. And people said afterwards, I heard from someone that saw the video, he was blown away. It was a game changer in understanding Masechtas Chulin. So pretty much from that period of time, this influenced some other books because of it to come out. And there were other people, nothing to do with Rebelsky, that also did this. And the first shiur that I gave, that not of the first six that we're counting, this is number seven, but of the shiur for all daf that was given on Chulin, how it's learned throughout the ages, I wrote down a few of the sources of some of this farm about it, which maybe we'll visit them, take a deeper dive into them. But the point is that it's beyond valuable to have these type of materials. Now, I apologize if some of these ideas I've said and you've heard from me in different times, I have no idea who hears the shiurim, or if anyone hears the shiurim for that matter. And as the old klal of my rabbi, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, jokes is the only thing you cannot repeat. You have to wait a few years to repeat them, but everything else, a good vart, you can repeat in the beginning of this year and the end of this year. So that is a sad truth a lot of times to certain things. Okay, now. So, now to focus on the actual sefer. So, as I said, someone like myself, this is excellent work of that Rabbi Wright put together. He calls it the Chulin and Shechita Companion, and as I said, this is part of a project of his. It says over there, it says in one of the first pages, a project of Jewish Studies Enrichment and the Tkufas Hashana series, where he has about Tkiyah Shofar, how to blow Shofar, how to buy a shofar kaparis, and then he has Arba Minim and some other projects of his that he has, and I believe he has other projects that he hopes to publish besides these. Okay, so he made sure, like any good Jew, you're putting out such a work, you want to make sure to get haskamas from various experts. So one of the people he gets haskama from is Rabbi Amitai ben David, who we spoke about. He's the author in the first episode that I gave for called Chulin Throughout the Ages. So he's the legendary author of the work called Sichas Chulin. This is like a massive work, and I described a little bit about it. Eventually we'll get back to it, but the point is he gets haskama from the expert in Hilchos Shechita with the Metzias, giving him major covet. And it's cute, he has in his haskama, he mentions the following. He says, Yosef is very useful, part of this whole project of yours to make practical aspects to help throughout all the different Mitzvahs. And he says like this, I saw myself. I was going to bake matzah with a chabura. So luckily you gave me, you Rabbi Wright, gave me he has a madrich of how to bake matzahs in a chabura. It seems that he has a draft out there, and Amir Tashem, it sounds like he's going to be publishing it as the real sefer. It's going to be coming out soon. And basically, so this expert of Shechita, Rav Amita ben David, said, so what did I do? I read through your work about Afiyas Matzos, baking matzos, and the next morning I sound like the greatest expert people thought I'm a big expert in the sugya of Afiyas Matzos because basically I read through your book, which is a pretty good covet that one could get as far as Eskamos go. Anyway, so basically this book starts from Bereshis Bara Kipshutai. Now, before we get to what that means, it's beautiful graphics, very nice pictures, and there's a lot of boxes on the side to not overwhelm, to try to break down the information, so there's compartments, so to speak, a lot of questions that you might want to know, and to make it, a lot of times the formatting is already a chachma today, more and more. As I like to say, people who think that, they say, don't judge a book by its cover. Obviously, they never try to sell a book if you said that, because the cover is very, very important. The graphics is very important. The layout is very, very important. And even if the information could be great sometimes, but if it's not presented in visual properly, it could affect the sales and the usage for people to benefit from it properly. So here, he has beautiful pictures throughout it. Now, it's not meant to bombard you and to impress every expert on the topic. It's to be for a regular Joe Schmo such as myself, city boy, never has dealt with animals. I want to know the basics, just break it down from Mamish Bereshis Bara, as I said. He does not do it. He does an excellent job not bombarding you with footnotes, but he sources everything that he says to be accurate and clear, to present the information. That is the goal. So you should get a Clarkite. Now, he opens the book, so to speak, the story, with a chapter about... For the obvious question, Shechita, why you do it the way we do it, some sources about it, and then those are the first two chapters, fine. Again, he's not trying to overwhelm you with the tumults throughout the generations about Shechita and all different things, LP science and this farm and books written about that. Basic information for a regular person, you want to sit and you know you're going to be learning Daf Yomi, so you're learning at a high speed, but you just want to know the information to come out with certain things and help you go through these 141 blot. Well, this is a great tool. So then chapter 3, he jumps into the one of the hot topics in this Masechta, which are many controversies, which I believe I mentioned one or two of them, and maybe I'll beginning a few shiurim relating to them, is the hot controversies about what are kosher animals. And he deals with all different things, but even this chapter where he seriously breaks it down, giving you the basics based on the sugyos and chulin, but again, he's not trying to bombard you, he's not trying to show off with all the different marmakimis and all the different articles and everything, but he gives you the basics. He does throw out there, interestingly enough, just to mention two psukim. He was zeicha to have a close relationship. He calls him his rabbi with Reb David Feinstein, which for everyone in America was zeicha to know of him as a tremendous paisik. Rebbe Yashiv and Eretz Yisrael was crazy, very into him, but sadly he didn't write so much, so people in Eretz Yisrael don't necessarily appreciate him because they didn't really have much to do with him. So actually recently the Yeshurun came out and devoted more than one issue already to with many, many different psukim of his, and I recently gave it to my Rav, Rabbi Avishai David, and he was actually, he had a relationship with Reb David Feinstein, and he was just blown away, kept him up for hours, occupied for hours. I actually did not give it to him. It came out before Pesach, so I would have given it to him Pesach night or the first days of Pesach. I did not want to give it to him. I told him afterwards. The reason was is I was scared that he wouldn't be available to answer questions for everyone, and people would have tainus on me if they would find out, because he'd be so involved and captivated by the Pesachim of David that's found in this volume of Yeshua. But anyway, the point is that this Rabbi Wright was also to have a relationship with Reb David, so he brings down the bizen, if it's kosher, if there's a Masaya on it, and basically, bottom line is, the bizen, Reb David Feinstein said that it's mutter, but he privately discouraged people from eating it. Okay, another psak of his was about the ducks, also Reb David, which is also a discussion. So Reb David said that all ducks are kosher. This is according to this from a conversation with his Rebbe. Fine. Anyway, then he jumps into chapter 4. So chapter 4 is the Sheikhid, who's allowed a Shecht. So he deals with that, the training, and the basic halachas of Shechita, that a sheikh needs to know, needs to be a Yerushalmayim, getting in what's called a Kabbalah from a Rav saying that he, you know, the halachas. Okay, then, excellent chapter, which gives you the basics again with pictures and illustrations, mamish to the very, very well organized, is all about knives and the stones, the sharpening, and the knives that had, which knives are you, should you be using. And I felt that this chapter and the next chapter also, it's excellent the whole way how he brings it down, puts it down on paper over here. Very, very well done. Again, pictures, all the information, and he gives you the background. It's not like I found it very cute. He has, let me see if you find it, behind the scenes, knife mechanics, how knives are made. So he gives you the background about that, modern knives, ancient knives. And this helps one understand a lot of times the sugyas, how the basic ideas over here, just reading four or five pages, all of a sudden things come to light as you learn the Masechta. Another chapter, which also plays a very important role in Hilchos Shechita, is the preparation of the knife, how you do it. Blow by blow. Now, in order to do this, and this is a key factor, besides that he has pictures and everything, he himself is a trained sheikhet. So number one is that in the introduction of the book, he says that, I come from humble beginnings. I learned Masechta Schulim in Kabul and raised several small flocks of chicken in my Brooklyn backyard. I too was among the uninitiated. I never met a sheikhet. When I set out to learn Shechita, I discovered that just like not everyone who knows how to read can teach Kriya, not everyone who knows how to Shecht can teach Shechita. I started to wonder, was Shechita regulated to the realm of elusive topics available only to a privileged few? And then he met someone who taught him, who was a great job teaching him, and then he had other people, chaverim, with many other different people. And the point is, he's taking you from the basics, mamish, of everything, every single aspect. As I keep on saying this, Bereshis Bara, he thought of all the questions. I think he sent this out to a lot of people also, people chaverim, of the actual book, which was very helpful to a lot of times, and you. Other people look at it and they think, basically the point is to try to bring it out to someone who has zero exposure to any of the aspects. What would he want to know in order to be able to understand the topics well? Okay, and I think he accomplishes that in these chapters. And then he gets to chapter 8, Shechita. Okay, we did all the side topics, the knife and all the vanasics. So here he does. What is the Shechita Shecht? He tries to have as many illustrations, explain all the aspects. And you could see from the way he's writing the whole thing as a person that's a man in the field. He's not talking about it as someone who never Shechted. It's talking about from someone who Shechted, and he's bringing it out in a way to try to bring out all the aspects, again, with illustrations, not too gross, but it might not be for everyone to look at. I think there might be a warning in this book. Some of these books do have warnings already. And then he talks about how he prepared to Shecht, another such chapter, how you hold the bird, and the actual Shechita, what you do, all different types of aspects, the Kisi Adam he does, and then he moves on to how he shecht other types of birds, other types of animals, and again with illustrations throughout. Now, one of the aspects of Shechita is the cleaning and inspecting afterwards. So, yes, he has a chapter about that, a little gory detail, how you check different aspects, how you check for gasos, dakos, pedikas, pnim, all these types of things with beautiful illustrations, trying very hard to make sure, as I keep on saying, not to overwhelm you with information, but to give you the basic information to help one go through this Masechta well. And actually, he has a cute page about the history of the word glot, a hot topic of people. You know, where's Glad? What do you need Glad for? Okay. And anyway, the point is, so this gets you to about 142 in the book. Then he goes through some other aspects with animals. And then he has a very valuable chapter, which is basically, Shlachta is how you, it's called a virtual tour of a commercial poultry Shechita. Going through a Shlachta is what you will see, what they do. Very This chapter is also done very well, gives you an understanding of what happens today, all the different aspects that could come up with, as I said again, illustrations the whole time to help you understand it. And this is, you know, there's a lot of videos already, and there's probably going to be more videos on the internet about it, but this is, sometimes you want a lot of details. Some people, in a Dome Shmieleria, sometimes reading it also helps get a grasp of the Metzius. Sometimes both, between the two, it helps you get a greater understanding for the Masechta. Then he has another such chapter, a virtual tour of a commercial beef shchita, where he does a similar type of thing. And again, as I said, Imamish goes from beginning to the end. We'll use a different expression of Bereshit Bara, Aleph Bizen Tuf. Okay, then he has, he calls it the meat washing controversy, how that's done. And then he concludes the chapter with the Sheichetz lexicon. And I find that this is very important, because not only when you're reading the book, but also when you are learning the Masechta, there's a lot of words that keep on coming up. And you know, if you're someone who never learned the Masechta, does not know these concepts, you can come up with them time and time again. So here you have a glossary, lexicon that you could refer to easily, and it's very helpful to look at and help you learn the Masechta. In short, this is a very valuable book out there. I'm sure there are others, and maybe we'll discuss some others, but it's very useful tool. As I said, I'm very fond of visual aids and these type of materials. It's nothing to be embarrassed about at all. It's just simple. That's the way you can understand the Metzius, which this Masechta is one of the focal points of understanding the Masechta, is to understand the Metzius. Thanks for listening. And Mirza Shem, hope to see you next time.